Hey, this is John in Stamford, Connecticut, and you're listening to Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
The guy can fly, vid, but he can't lay down a freaking bunt. I was laying down bunts in Little League.
They could have been down.
Your team did last night.
It was a pathetic performance. I will admit that. We're not talking about the Devils.
If Westwood wins a major, I will take you guys to the U.S. Open next year. How about that?
Lee's going to shoot 61 all four rounds now. Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You just got to go buy your beach balls before you arrive in the fourth inning. I get
it. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
1, 2, 3. Met. 1, 2, 3. Met. 1, 2, 3. Belief. 1, 2, 3. Magic. 1, 2, 3. Ooga. 1, 2, 3. Shaka. 1, 2, 3. Gritty. 1, 2, 3. Duddy. 1, 2, 3. Let's do this, Mets! 2012!
And down goes Martin's wiener.
That's outrageous!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big special Monday Night Football post-game show. A very special edition as we will incorporate some baseball coverage as the Giants have clinched the National League pennant in Game 7 of the LCS to advance to the World Series against the Detroit Tigers, who will fly out to San Francisco to meet them on Wednesday night. Be there for that on Fox. But we will cover that in the next 15 minutes. Right now, we keep it with football, as we've been doing for the first few weeks of this season in the NFL. And we recap what was which could be nothing more than an ugly game between the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. Lions at Bears. On Monday Night Football tonight, there wasn't much to see. In fact, your eyes were covering you were covering your eyes throughout most of it. And if you want to jump in on that action, 424-258-9251 is your telephone number to call us tonight. We'll be going till 9:30 on the show. And in fact, we have a huge program scheduled. We're so close to the top of the hour, there's no point in doing a top of hour ID. So we'll just go right into this. All right, so the Lions started off the season with pretty good expectations. Nobody said, all right, they're going right to the Super Bowl. They weren't saying they were going to get a one seed or any of that. But they went in with some pretty reasonable expectations to have a good season. And principally, their offense was expected to perform well. So what happened? Ever since I've been watching them this entire year, they have been terrible. They can barely score 17 points a game. When I watch them, anytime they play a good defense, they can't even get in the end zone. So tonight was fitting. Matthew Stafford getting beaten around, slammed by Demonican Sue. He got slammed into the... His face was slammed into the ground, and it was a legal hit. Slammed into the ground, he comes up fine, but the glass statue is not getting it done for the Lions. Calvin Johnson, everybody figured him out. Cover him. Who knew? You cover the biggest wide receiver on the team, and suddenly the offense can't score. Who knew? Charles Tillman knew. He was covering him pretty well all night for Chicago. Unbelievable. Just how badly this paper tiger, no pun intended, with the Detroit Lions has been this season. They have been a joke. And tonight against Chicago, pretty much laid it all out there on the table. On the table. And I should recognize that he wasn't that Stafford was not driven into the ground by Sue. It was actually Jay Cutler from the Bears who was driven into the ground by Demonican Sue. And he got up and he managed to get back for the next play or so, but he did have to leave the game. And I don't even know what his status is right now. That's why the Bears struggled to score offensively in the second half. So in an opportunity like that, you would think that the Lions would have a chance to make it interesting. But while the score was 13-0, they never really did. They never really did. For a long time, that was the score. And the Lions couldn't really do anything to get that thing closer. I mean, that's just awful. eventually, after pretty much all was lost in this game, the Lions finally got into the end zone in garbage time. Right around 40 seconds left on the clock, they tried an onside kick. It was probably a really terrible kick. It went so far, nobody on the Lions had a chance to recover the ball. So the Bears went right after it, got the ball, the game was over. Your final score tonight in Chicago, Bears 13, Lions 7. But honestly, the Lions were shut down much more than the 7. They were this close to being shut out entirely for the first time since, you know, the dawn of football. And let's, I mean, this guy, Stafford, has been nothing exciting the entire season. And in as much as Calvin Johnson, he has been nothing exciting this entire season. He really hasn't. He'll have a couple of good games, but because they're now scheduling some good teams against the Lions are doing nothing with their offense. They really aren't doing a thing. And that's just, to me, a really big disappointment for Detroit in this season. I mean, that's just a serious, that's seriously just a big joke. It's a joke. You know, this is a team that people really thought would be up there with the Packers, scoring every game in the 30s, racking up the points, racking up the fantasy statistics. But no, they go in week number one, they barely beat the Rams. They're lucky to beat them. And they had to fend off, they had to come back just so they could beat the Rams, who were not really that good going in to the season and aren't that good right now in the middle of the season. Then they go to San Francisco. They barely could score there too. They hung around. They lost that 27-19. And then Tennessee. Okay. Tennessee had them beat. And they had to do a furious second half comeback to get that thing to overtime and then lose anyway. 44-41, so they scored some points. But really, this team that's supposed to score at least 30 points a game, they have done it once this entire season. And it was in that game against Tennessee, and that required a huge comeback just to get back into that game. Minnesota, they lose that 20-13. Philadelphia, they're oh my god. The Eagles gave them that game, 26-23, and then tonight, 13-7. And every game it just seems like the offense gets worse and worse. Calvin Johnson has been just Calvin Johnson just hasn't been that great this year. It's not his fault. It's a funny thing when they play good defense, what happens. It's a funny thing when teams plan around Calvin Johnson, what happens. Gets a measly 3 catches for 34 yards. That's it. No touchdown catches. Calvin Johnson probably having a pretty mediocre season when it's all said and done. Probably racked it up in those games against all the bad teams. But overall, he is just not doing it for me. The Lions are just not doing it for me. I may not even say that their defense as on the whole is bad, but really, when you get down to it, their ability to cover receivers downfield was never really that good last year, and that carried over into this year. So their defense isn't really that bad. It's just that they can't move the ball. So what happened to all this? They can't move the ball? Really? That's the best you can do. You're in a big game against Chicago. You are relatively healthy. I know Stafford usually has his own issues. I call him the glass statue for a reason. But that's the best you can do. And even in the second half, when the Bears were without their star quarterback, the best you could do was a garbage touchdown at the end of the game. Says it all. Says it all. Jim Schwartz, overrated. He's so good, yeah. Well, he can't get them to win some of these close games, really. Couldn't get them in the end zone in the second half. Was presumably one of the better defenses in the conference. I'm sorry, offenses in the conference. Get out of town with this. Freaking Lions, they need to play more bad teams in order for them to succeed. Well, they played Philadelphia. Pretty bad team in my estimation. Didn't do so hot. So here's the rub. Detroit, if you think that you're going to be in this thing for the long haul, and right now they've already fallen to 2-4 this season. Not completely insurmountable, but it's not good. It's not good. If the Lions are going to be in this thing for real, they need to start beating some of these good defenses. They can't go the rest of the season waiting for a bad game, waiting for a bad matchup. It's just not going to happen. So, you know what's going to happen next week? They're going to go home, and they're going to play the Seahawks. And a word in the street is that the Seahawks have an amazing defense themselves. Good luck. Jeez. And it won't be until November 4th when they finally play a cupcake team like Jacksonville on the road. And then maybe they'll start racking up their points and bullying guys around. But then Minnesota, Green Bay, and Houston, and then Indianapolis after that, and then Green Bay again. So you've got one good defense, one really good offense that's probably going to kick the tar out of the Lions anyway. They have their number. Another good defense. And then a team that you kind of be careful about with Indianapolis. I think that's obviously not a good defense, but Andrew Luck certainly is going to come to play. The Lions are done. I mean, they had their chance to make a statement and say that they were in this playoff race. They lost that chance. They really lost that chance tonight. Even when the Bears were beaten up, even when they had a break, the Lions had a break with losing Jay Cutler for the rest of the game, they still couldn't take advantage. And Stafford, wow. I mean, Stafford, he doesn't get any help from his offensive line, but he did not have a good night tonight. I mean, 261 yards off of 46 pass attempts. I mean, he just wasn't that. That is just not a great night. 261. His best receiver for the night was Titus Young. Give him credit. But it's just not a very exciting night. And here's the other thing with the Lions. I thought was pretty important. Nate Burleson actually got hurt too. I think he might have had to leave that game. I was switching back and forth between this game and the Giants. But with that said, Nate Burleson didn't really have that great of a night anyway. He really isn't supposed to. He's like a third option. But honestly, who's after Johnson on that team? Is it Young? Maybe. Is it Pettigrew, the tight end? Maybe. Is it Burleson? You know, they don't really have anybody else that scares you after Calvin Johnson. And even Calvin Johnson himself doesn't scare you right now. And I will say this one more time. Charles Tillman shut him out of the game. That was a strong performance by Tillman for the Bears on this evening. No doubt about it. It was a very tough performance. Wasn't an easy assignment, even now. And he got the, and he really did shut him down. I mean, he got away. He had tried to push the envelope with a contact, but he was terrific. I mean, he just did not give him any space. So Tillman gets a lot of credit tonight for what he was able to do against Calvin Johnson. But the fact remains, Johnson himself has just not been that good this season. An all-pro wide receiver, regarded by many, including myself, as the best wide receiver in the game. I still think this. I don't think that changes. But the man they call Megatron has been mega bust this season to start. I mean, against Philadelphia, okay, he had a great game. Against Tennessee, there we go again. He had a great game. Against Minnesota, a good defense, 54 yards. He has 5 receptions, 54 yards. And as far as his touchdowns, none. So, yeah, I don't know. You think, I mean, you just break it down. Is he really that good? Any team that can that has the talent to scheme and play specifically against him, he doesn't seem to do much. Even week one against the Rams, 51 friggin' yards. Oh, no, 1-11. Okay, sorry. I was looking at the wrong column. But San Francisco, 94. which is okay. But then they had a couple of drives at the end trying to get the game winning score. So you had that too. I just don't think that against a good secondary that Johnson is really going to succeed. And again, a good secondary is good for a reason. They'll shut anybody out. So for that same reason, you can't really expect a whole lot. But my goodness, they completely froze them out of this game. Oh my goodness. It just hasn't been a good season for the Lions. And with the Bears doing what they had to do defensively, and the Bears' defense has been wonderful, it really shows you that the Lions do not play well under pressure. And so what that means long term is that they are not going to be a team to be taken seriously, whether it comes to now, whether it comes to the rest of the season, or whether it comes to the playoffs if they even made it. But right now, Stafford hasn't been able to get any kind of rhythm on offense. He has no help from his offensive line. They can't run the ball. And Calvin Johnson is only going to be good every other game. That's not a dependable team right now. And so for that reason, I think the Lions are going to be out of the picture. It is the NFL. They might get some easy games to end the season, which will give the Lions a chance. In fact, if you think about the end of the year, they're playing Arizona, Atlanta, and Chicago. Arizona is going to be your easy one, but Atlanta, you know, that's 50-50. And Chicago might be a winnable game. At least they'll be at Detroit for that one. But still, does that look like a winning team to you? They're already 2-4, and they're about to face a gauntlet in the month of November. I mean, if they come out of that above 500, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, if they come out of November above 500, I will eat my words. But that is something that I don't think any football fan is going to have to worry about coming up. Yeah, they're done. I mean, they really are done. Stafford was definitely not as good as I originally thought. He holds onto the ball too long anyway, even though he doesn't get any help from his offensive line. And he just doesn't have that much help, aside from Johnson, in terms of their throwing options. Usually that's not that important. But who's the number two? That's your question. And right now I don't think they've got one. So that's it for Monday Night Post-Game Recap. We'll spend the remainder of our program commemorating the Giants' run to the World Series again. My goodness. They keep fighting back. They're down 3-1. And suddenly, just like that, you see a team on the cusp of making the Fall Classic again, and here they are. Can you believe it? We'll break down exactly how it happened after this, but man, you're a Giant fan. You must be thrilled tonight. Congratulations to the Giants for winning the National League pennant and advancing to the World Series. The Tigers will come by China Basin on Wednesday, and it's on. World Series, here we go. So we'll cover it all. Bat more with baseball coming up right after this. This is Dave in the City.
Streetlights, people, living just a fight.
8:17 going to 9:30 tonight or a little later. We're covering at this point the NLCS Game 7 concluded just about a half an hour ago in pouring rain on San Francisco at AT&T Park. And the Giants emerged from this one victoriously, 9-0, as the Giants advanced to the second World Series for their franchise in 3 years. As a Dodger fan, man, you got to feel a little bitter about it, but, you know, patience is the action of valor. I will await for the moment when it will be our turn. Not important at this point. I should, at this first of all, extend my congratulations to the Giants organization. They absolutely deserve this. There's no question about it. They've gone through a lot of grief over the years, and they've had some amazing comebacks in the middle of all this. Coming back from down 0-2, stretched to the limit, winning 3 on the road at Cincinnati to make it to this round. And then, in this round, go down 3-1 in the series, win 3 straight, 1 in St. Louis, 2 in San Francisco, and convincingly, too. They won all those games by a lot of runs. To do all of that, to get great pitching from guys like Barry Zito and Ryan Vogelsong and then Matt Cain for the capper, despite their minor foibles throughout those starts, is impressive. And so, for the Giants, they've really come a long way. And I thought the first time it happened, it was incredible. But the second time was just flat out impossible. Where did all this come from? Where did this offense come from? Where did this pitching come from? Where did these starts come from? Where did these escape hatches come from? It's just been really that kind of a year for the Giants. Just when you think they're out of it, it's getting close. They're going to be wiped out. And then no, they always find a way to claw back. And this year's playoff run was a little more improbable than the last. At least in last year's playoff run, you saw it coming. Well, they were great pitching. They never really took a huge deficit. In fact, I don't think they took a deficit in that playoff run. In any of those series, I don't believe they fell behind. Here, they were behind almost the whole way. It's just insane. But we give the Giants a lot of credit on this night. They've made their way through. They look like they have a full head of steam going into this series against Detroit. They're not going anywhere. They'll stay in rainy San Francisco for the next day and a half. And then on Wednesday night, game numero uno. Game one. Justin Verlander is going to pitch 3 games in the series if it goes a full 7. But he'll be available for games 1, 4, and 7. Unless something serious happens to him physically. Or something else happens that we don't know about. It seems like that on paper, the Tigers are going to be the one to win the series. But in my estimation, I think that is a mistake. I really think the Tigers have been sitting around too long. And I also think that the Tigers' pitching is a little overblown. The starters are fine. Between him and Scherzer and one other, they should be okay. But their bullpen is really not that good. I thought they were, and they were fairly good in the beginning of the season and through the regular season. But right now, this second, it's not a good bullpen. Valverde couldn't hold on to a lead. They were up by 4 runs against the New York Yankees. 2 two-run homers killed it for the Tigers. They were fortunate to win that one anyway at New Yankee Stadium on that Saturday night. It's like 2 Saturday nights ago. They take out Valverde. He's not a factor. Bring in Phil Koch to try and close these games. Koch doesn't really do that much better. Game 3, it was down to a final at bat. I forget who it was, whether it was A-Rod or Swisher or who. And it was down to a final at bat in Detroit. And I'm sorry, it was down to a final at bat in Detroit, yeah, against the Yankees. And Koch did everything in his power to make that thing interesting. Had 2 guys on base, couldn't put anybody away. The at-bats themselves were very lengthy. And he couldn't really close the deal fully. He finally got the out, though, and the Tigers took their commanding 3-0 series lead. Then game 4, they brought him back in. And that was a minor, a less exciting circus, but it's still a little bit of a circus nonetheless. So, in any case, the Tigers' bullpen is very shaky right now. And that's good enough reason to believe that whoever came out of this NL series, it wound up being the Giants. But I said, game 6 and 7, I said, you know what? Whoever wins this series, I think they're going to beat the Tigers. Because the Tigers have been really shaky with their bullpen. Their hitting is so hot and cold. And it's been that way all season, meaning the Tigers hitting. They can slam the ball some nights, and other nights they just don't do much. And really, throughout half of that series, the Tigers' bats didn't do much against the Yankees. But they won the games anyway because the Yankees didn't bring anything to the table. So I thought the Tigers advancing this well, this quickly, to the World Series was a product of A, their perseverance, surely. I mean, they were down for a good part of the season. They made up a bunch of games in the last month as they were putting down the Chicago White Sox. But B, it was them catching the Yankees at the best time possible. They could not hit. They had five guys who were a problem in the lineup, not even a little bad, but absolutely bad. And in the middle of all that, there's so much drama around A-Rod. Ah, is he ever going to play again? Blah, blah, blah. It was a mess. The whole thing was a mess. So, all told, the Tigers got a couple of breaks. And even with all that, I saw a team that I think if they were better than we had looked at them to be, they would have iced more than just game four. They would have iced game two, game one, I mean, which, again, they were up 4-0, but they probably should have been up about 6 or 7 or even 8-0 in that game. So, the fact that they let the Yankees hang around in this series despite their absolute abysmal performance at the plate makes me think that the Tigers are pretty beatable too. I really don't think the Tigers are going to be that decisive of a favorite in my mind. But a lot of people are going to sway that way. So, yeah, I know a lot of guys are like, but they've got the Triple Crown winner. They've got Miguel Cabrera. They've got Prince Fielder. Oh, they've got such a big lineup, and they do. But I also think that the Giants will be a more consistent hitting lineup all the way across. Scudero or Posey, Sandoval, who's been having a good series. A lot of that's a pretty good top of the lineup for the Giants. And so with that in place, and Angel Pagan, another pretty good bat. And Brandon Belt has been really lighting it up lately. I mean, I don't know where this power came from. He's suddenly hitting home runs left and right. I don't know what happened to him, but he's been hitting pretty well lately. It's a good balanced lineup. The Tigers are two guys and a bunch of other guys who might contribute. Austin Jackson is among them, though, and he's pretty good. But the lineups are not as lopsided of a comparison as you might think. That's the bottom line. Yes. The Tigers have two of the best hitters in baseball, I know. But the guys around them, yeah, you know, they're fine. But if you're centering it around two guys and those two guys don't hit, then what? Then what? Then what happens to the Tigers? They become a fruit ready for the picking. So it's not a layup. And I think anybody that thinks it's a layup, oh, Tigers in 5, Tigers in 4, Tigers in 6... I'm making a mistake. I'm going to call it right here. I think the Giants are going to win the series. And that sucks, because that means the Giants are going to win 2 out of 3 series when the Dodgers haven't even been to the World Series in 25 years. But you know what? That's the Giants. The Giants have been a gritty team all year. I've counted them out enough times this postseason. This time I'm counting them in. I think they're in this. And I think they're going to get it. And it's not going to be easy to deal with. It's going to be tough to stomach another Giants World Series. But you know what? You know what? You can't fault the Giants organization for being a good organization. And so they are that. They have great fans. They've been loyal to that team for years. And you can't really take that away from them. So the Giants have pitching that's not as good as 2010. So that's also not a layup by any means. It's not like the Giants are going to sweep the series either. But they... had to fight back from 2-0-2. They had to fight back from 3-1. If that happens to them a third time, I really think that well, they've got the experience to be able to make that comeback. And so that nothing is really going to scare them here in this World Series. It is exactly for that reason why I think the Giants are probably going to take down the Tigers, because they aren't afraid of anything. If they weren't afraid of the Reds and they took them down the way they did, what is going to make them that scared of the Tigers? Really, what is the difference? What is the difference? I think the Tigers lineup versus the Reds lineup, it's a bit of a coin flip. I think I would even say the Reds beats the Tigers lineup top to bottom. So if they can beat that, and if they can beat the Cardinals, who had all the karma going in their favor, then what is going to stop them from beating the Tigers? The only thing I could think of was be Verlander. But imagine this. Justin Verlander had to go 9 innings in like 2 of his starts. He might be stretched out by now. It might be possible that he breaks down sometime in this series. You can't expect him to go 9 innings again. That would be just outrageous. I mean, if it happened, then okay, tip the cap. But it just would be unrealistic to expect it. So, as much as the Tigers have been thriving with Justin Verlander, bear in mind, he can't pitch like that in every start. So, with that out of the way, the Giants have a decent path to a championship. And I think they will embark on that path, unfortunately, for me personally. But it'll be an interesting series. We'll watch the whole way. Game one on Wednesday night. And then it continues through from there. And that's it for our recap of baseball for the moment. Well, it was a short one tonight, but a fun one. Thanks again for everybody who joined in. That was a good time. Thanks again to, well, nobody. But for the chat room, I really appreciate everybody who checked in, including our friends John in Connecticut and Chris in Syracuse. Thanks again for your time, everyone. We'll be back with a full Wednesday show. But until then, we will see you next time.